This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. My dear respected brothers, sisters, elders, I thought today it's a good idea to look at the what I like to call the other side of the picture. We live in a world today where, thanks to what news is presented and how it is presented, we have a very dark and dismal and depressing picture of our life and times. And that is because only bad news sells. And in a profit-driven world, ruled by predatory capitalist barons, nothing which doesn't make money can survive. For example, the root cause of our environmental crisis is that when net worth is measured only in dollars, then wood has value, not a standing forest. So felling a forest makes profit, but left untouched, it represents what we call unexploited opportunity. Having said that, let us see what the reality of our world is, really, by comparing it with what it was 50 years ago. That is within my lifetime. I'm not talking about ancient history. Take infant mortality, malnutrition, treatment for heart disease, running hot and cold water in the bathrooms when you turn on your shower, elevators, refrigerators, televisions. Is that a blessing or not? Telephones and 1,000 other conveniences that we take for granted were either not there or were in a very nascent stage, which you can only see in a museum today. My father, Rahmatullah Ali, before the age of 40, had 3 heart attacks. And the only treatment was to take rest and not eat oily foods and not eat too much of meat and so on. That's it. Because angioplasty and bypass surgery had not been invented until then. Neither had cataract surgery. In my city, in Hyderabad, one of our nobles, now Fakhrul Mulk Bahadur, built a palace in 1870. It stands today, which has 600 rooms. 150 of them were furnished with Louis XVI furniture from France. Today, the cost of Louis XVI chairs ranges from $2,400 to $24,000 per chair. Now, I'm not saying that Fakhrul Mulk paid that price, but obviously he still paid a fortune. But that's not the point of my story. My point of my story is to ask you to think about this. When you are standing in your shower with hot water raining down on your head, adjusted to just the right temperature, and reflect on the fact that this wonderful palace didn't have a shower with running hot and cold water. It also didn't have flush toilets. It also doesn't have air conditioning, which in the summer in Hyderabad, where the temperature goes to 120 degrees, is useful. Remember that money was not the issue. The technology didn't exist. Now, go further back in history and look at all the great monarchs and their palaces and the luxury they lived in and so on, and you will realize that some of the most common essential conveniences that we are used to and we believe we can't do without them were not available to people who ruled entire nations. My question is, are we conscious of this and do we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it? Gratitude is the platform on which happiness runs. We all want to be happy, but how many of us are consciously grateful? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began his book with reminding us to be grateful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and all thanks is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, protector, sustainer of the universe, Rabbul Alameen. We read this ayah in every rakat or every salah, but do we contemplate on it? Do we reflect on it? And do we count the number of things that we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for? So let's start doing that right now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَآتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. Allah said, which means, and He, Jalla Jalaluhu, has granted you all that you asked Him for. If you try to count, just count. We're not talking about being grateful and expressing gratitude. Just count. If you try to count Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings, you will never be able to number them. Indeed, humankind is truly zalumun kafa, truly unfair and truly ungrateful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from being in that list. And then Allah said in the same surah, Surah Ibrahim, وَإِذْ تَعَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٌ. Allah said, which means, and when your Rabb proclaimed, if you are grateful, I will certainly give you more, I will increase my blessing. But if you are ungrateful, surely my punishment is severe. I advise myself when you to make a list of the top 10 things that we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, and do that in tahajjud, in sujood. And do this every day and see how your life gets transformed. See how your heart will be full of happiness. Expressing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also to express it to those people in our life who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His blessings through. Parents and siblings and children and spouses and teachers and friends and grandchildren and many more. Do we thank them? Specifically thank them? Do we express our gratitude for what they do for us and how that impacts us? Just think of one of them and imagine that you are attending the janaz of that person. See how you would feel. Imagine life without them. For many of us, we can't even imagine that. Yet, when they are with us, we take them for granted. Rasulullah said about people who are ungrateful, in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu and Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَالَ لَا يَشْكُرُ اللَّهِ مَنْ لَا يَشْكُرُ النَّاسِ. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said and reported that Rasulullah said, whoever does not thank people has not thanked Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't tell us to wait until they are dead to thank them or say something good about them. You know, eulogies and writing letters of remembrance. Say it right away. If you haven't done it, go do it now after the Jummah. First thing you do, pick up your phone, call them. Go meet them, even better. After all, think about this. If they had done something wrong, or if they had done something which you didn't like, believe me, there's not one of us who wouldn't go and search for that person and tell them right then. Even if it is something which didn't directly harm you or affect you, make one mistake, and you will have 10 people standing in line to say you made that mistake. So why wait to thank and praise when you don't wait to criticize, or you don't wait to express your anger? Rasulullah used to say good things about his sahaba all the time. And he said that in their presence, or in the presence of their closest friends, in the full knowledge that this would be conveyed to them. Imagine how happy, for example, I'll give you some examples from the seerah. Imagine how happy Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu would have been, how happy he must have felt, when he was standing in Salah in the masjid and he was reciting Quran aloud, and he felt the presence of someone behind him. When he finished his Salah, he turned around, it was Rasulullah himself. And Rasulullah told him how much he loved hearing his recitation. Abu Musa radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, if I knew you were listening, I would have recited longer. And how he must have felt, think about that. Why did the Nabi alayhi salam need to stand there and tell him this? You could have appreciated and gone away. He didn't do that. He stayed there. Imagine how Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu must have felt when somebody told him that Rasulullah said that when shaitan sees Umar coming down a street, he changes his direction. and go down a different street. How Sayyidina Umar must have felt when he heard this. Imagine Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu's pleasure when he was told that Rasulullah took the bayah on his behalf under the tree of Hudaybiyah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَعِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَ فَعَلِمَا مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَأَنْزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا وَمَغَانِمَ كَثِيرَةً يَأْخُذُونَهَا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared that he was pleased with those people. He said, indeed Allah was pleased with the believers when they pledged allegiance to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, under the tree. He knew what was in their hearts, so he sent down serenity and tranquility upon them and rewarded them with a victory at hand and many spoils of war they will gain, for Allah is almighty, all wise. And that is one, on a side note, that's the reason why we Muslims do not criticize the Sahaba for anything they did, because who are we to judge those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he was pleased with? Finally, imagine how Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu must have felt when he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he heard this saying in Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif, packed with the Sahaba on the Thursday before the Monday when he passed away sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, which means Allah is witness that I have fulfilled everyone's right and returned everyone's favor except that of Abu Bakr. And Allah will reward Abu Bakr on my behalf. Imagine how Abu Bakr Siddiq would have felt when he heard the Rasul alayhi salam saying it in front of him right there. There are many other stories about the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appreciated and encouraged those with him so that they loved him more than anyone else. The operative question is, what are you and I going to do differently starting now, starting today? Because the only worthwhile purpose of learning is to apply it. That is what transformed the life of the Sahaba, what they did, not only what they knew. The Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, obeyed the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without hesitation in the way that they learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They didn't question the commands of Allah or the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them to obey the command. They heard and they obeyed. Sami'na wa ata'na. No arguments, no hesitation, no doubt. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.